Yo, yo, yo. Yo, 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 yo. Yo, 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 yo. One, two, one, two. What it do? It's your boy Skeeter Steve.
It's Queasy the God. What's happening?
Yes, sir. And welcome to another episode of Lace Roms, where we giving it to you for the culture and by the culture. Jay? Jay? Jay, are you there? Are you here? Where you at, Jay? Where the fuck you at, Nate? Nah, I'm just playing, man. Yeah, man. Our boy Jay. Jay couldn't be here with us tonight, man. So we're going to rock it out, me and my boy, Queasy the God.
Man, yes. Behind the camera, but I'll chime in on
right, the right, 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 commentary. Right, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely, man. Fucking feeling good, feeling great. Caught that nice little Lakers game last night, won in overtime. Told y'all niggas it was going to beat the Clippers.
Yeah. It was going to beat them.
I knew it was going to do it, man. It was fucking great, and to catch all up to speed, yeah, we took a little, you know, a little cool little week off we needed because y'all know, man, these past 2 months, man, we've been moving and grooving, like, big time, though, but yeah, man, we're back in full effect, though, so, you know, to catch up with y'all, and Wu-Tang, Nas, and De La Soul. Was at the MGM Grand about a week and a half ago, and I was able to check that concert out. And
I bet that show was phenomenal.
Bro, phenomenal ain't even a word, man.
How is Nas in concert, like, with breath control and delivery and shit? Like, how was the show, like, from a technical perspective?
Yeah, man, he was great. Like, he was fucking great. Like, when I say he put on the show... He definitely put on a show. De La Soul put on a show. And I just love the fact that Talib Kweli came in and rocked out on stage with them while doing All the Days part. And then he did a couple of his solo joints. Man, like, amazing, though. But seeing all the members of the Wu on stage, that was crazy.
At one time.
Yeah, man, one fucking time, bro. Like... And even, hey, I got to give credit where credit due. Shout out to Young ODB. Yo, when I said full energy just like his daddy, full fucking energy. And, like, he was doing all of his dad's parts of the Wu-Tang joint. And the whole fucking crowd was loving it.
That's dope.
They were loving
that had
it.
To be a moment. That's a hip-hop moment for yeah. sure. But it had to be like a...
Yeah, bro, like, you doing it. For your pops, man, and the OG members, it's like, pretty much he on stage with his fucking uncles, if you think about it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's pretty much like family. That's family, and that's what made that concert dope, and then just seeing the whole MGM arena packed out. Like, super packed out. And not only that, though, too, man, we're going to get into it later on the show, man, because it correlates with a topic that we are going to be talking about, though. But it's just crazy to let you guys know. And I just want to tell y'all, man, like, yo, appreciate all the eras of hip-hop. Please. I know you have your preference and your certain taste, though, but appreciate all the eras. So, and the reason why I said this, because while I was walking up to my seat, saw this lady, like, she was, like, wearing a dope Wu-Tang shirt. And, like, we got to talking to her and everything. She was like, yeah, man, I love hip-hop. I've been a fan since from the beginning. And I was like, and then I asked her, I was like, do you mind? If you don't mind, how old are you? Lady literally told me she was 66 years old, bro. That's how powerful hip-hop is. So you got to think. I'm 36. She's 66. She was there from the beginning, damn near. Pretty much the whole fucking beginning.
She saw the crates and the break dancing and the shit yeah. we were talking about off camera earlier.
Yeah, yeah, the graffiti. The graffiti. So she's seen it all. And, like, when I seen that, I'm all like, I want to be like you when I be older. Nigga, I want to be in my 50s and 60s and join these fucking hip-hop concerts. Like, for real. That's why I just said, like.
Win the fuck out of life.
Right. Yeah. Right, man. And that's why I'm just saying, y'all, please respect all the eras. Don't shit on all the eras, because all the eras is great, and you got to understand it was different things at different times. You know what I'm saying? Like we like you like we hear some of the people like want to clown on the '80s, like the early '80s, how they rap. But y'all gotta think though. Fucking Atari just came out. Fucking rap was on a movement on a all time high. And
Grand Nationals were brand new.
Yeah,
like it was that era.
Yeah, and new things are coming out the same way how like we were able to witness new things coming out. So you gotta think the climate was high and it was different and it was dope for them. And I respect that because each era it's something new. Not yeah. only that happened in music. But just happened in the time capsule. World.
It was
yeah.
what was really happening. What it felt yeah. like. What the sounds were. What cool fucking looked like.
Right.
Yeah.
And just seeing like the different lingo, the different slang, like it's amazing. Like so, like please, go, man. Just respect the eras. Respect the eras, man. That's all I'm saying though. But yeah.
So what's on itinerary today,
yes.
brother?
All right. Commentary for the culture, man. We got a lot going on.
We got going.
Oh man. Whew. Well, we can start with J. Cole. Dreamville Festival returns and announced the dates for 2024. Dreamville Festival, brainchild of Grammy winning rapper J. Cole to acclaim his Dreamville team. It's a set. The Triumph returned to the Raleigh, North Carolina, Saturday, April 6th, and Sunday, April 7th, 2024. That might have to be a move because I ain't never been to a Dreamville Fest and I want to go. That might have to be a move. It immersed successfully from the previous edition, which saw a record-breaking 100,000 attendees worldwide. Dreamville Festival is poised to make its mark again for the world's largest artist-led music festival. I'm here for that. I mean, I watched the live stream you know, now we're getting on the tail end earlier this past couple months back, and it was dope. It was dope. And
I feel like the Dreamville Festival will be like being there for them sessions that he released a documentary to.
Mm-hmm.
How it's just like a vibe, and the set list is probably crazy.
Oh no, yeah,
like
absolutely.
It's probably like weaving in and out of some of his most intricate shit.
Mm-hmm.
Has he really been barring up lately?
No, he has. I gotta give credit where credit due, even though I got that nigga ranked second for me. Jay, I know you hate me, but I don't care. You know it's Kendrick all day, bro. That ain't gonna never change. But nigga's still good. I'm digging the run, what he got going on right now, though. But this is that's dope, though. And you know, and it gives his artists, you know, that's on that label to shine. You know, have their own sets, though, man. But yeah, y'all just need some better NRs over there, man. You know, y'all got the talent though, but some should be higher than others. That's just me.
I feel like Dreamville is one of them labels that do well in spaces like this. Like, mm-hmm. they tour really, really, really well,
mm-hmm.
but they're not, like, charting.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I think that's kind of the route of a J. Cole-style artist.
Yeah.
He make them earn a little spot, but he boosts right. them 1,000%.
Right, yeah, yeah. Them. Yeah, man. And it's, you know, J. Cole is the only nigga that's T-Mobile worthy. All the other niggas is House of Blues worthy.
Hmm. That's a distinction. It's to a damn concert venue.
Right.
But no, I think the Dreamville Festival is definitely a... If nothing else, you're going to hear some great music.
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, though. So, yeah, man, whenever them tickets go on sale, y'all go ahead and check that out. That's going to be dope, man. But let's continue on to J. Cole. It's one of those, okay, he's happy, but is he really happy? But because it kind of don't sound like he's happy. Well, J. Cole has came out and said he almost wishes his first number one single wasn't an alley-oop. So what he mean by that, it was revealed that the first person shooter collab with Drake didn't top the Billboard 100, though, but the Dreamville rapper secured his first number one single of his career last month, thanks for the All the Dogs track to beat out another song from the same album, Yeet, from I Don't Give a Fuck. And then in his rare appearance on the Little Yachty Show, J. Cole admitted that he sort of didn't want his first number one to be an alley-oop from his good friend Drizzy. If it would have went number two, I would have mattered, though. But he said, I would have felt no way if this song would have went number one. And I'm like, bro, I'm cool.
I respect that, though. Like, as a competitive, like, lyricist, it makes sense that you want something that has an accolade attached to be your, like, thought child.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So yeah. I get that.
No, I do. But I ain't going to lie. I'm going to have to be a little hater. Sound like you got that piggyback.
We all know Drake got a stimulus pack.
Right. No, yeah, we do. No, but I actually do respect that though, because like he like fuck, dude, like this is not how I wanted to get it. I wanted to get it on my own, but damn, like I had he like he cool he like I fuck with you, but it like I ain't want to get like this, dog. Not like this. So I mean, I respect the competition of him getting his first number one, and hopefully we will get it because he got so much music in his catalog, and I'm just shocked that he didn't have a number one like that.
I didn't really pay attention to the charts though.
Yeah, I try not to though, but when it comes up though, I mean, I can't help to look at it though. But it's just fucking Kendrick. He scored two number ones, but the first number one was Humble. And then the second one was DNA. So I'm all like, I feel him. He want to be like that, securing. Yeah, your own number one when it's just you by yourself and nobody's helping you. So I can respect the competition in J. Cole in that. He happy, but he really not
it's
happy.
Like, it's like the LeBron argument.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
How didn't you win rings with the super team?
Right, right.
Cole's like, I want to be Jordan. No, right. I want to be LeBron.
Right. No, yeah, and I respect that. I definitely respect that. You know, so hey, man, you'll get your one, J. Cole, though, but not right now, bro. You got it with the Canadian Mist.
Alley-oop.
All right. Earlier, you saw us speaking about Wu-Tang and that experience. At the concert with you know, now we consider them OGs in the rap game. And so it was dope, though. So now a question has been poised, and we have been seeing it. Old school versus new school. Why older rappers are selling out tours while young rappers struggle?
Oh, my God.
So a lot of this is broken down, and, you know, in four different ways why the OGs is doing able to do what they do. Number one, a time-tested catalog. One of the key factors contributing to the success of older rappers is their extensive and diverse discographies. I'm gonna have to agree with that because, for one, body of catalogs, like how we indulged music when we were coming up. Okay, you have the single. But we wanted to hear what's that album like, and we know like what's a complete album. Fucking T.I., Urban Legend, Lil Wayne, The Carter 2, Common B, Kanye West, Late Registration. And these a lot of these albums I'm naming, this like their second or their third album in their catalog. They have a fucking story behind it.
It's a complete thought.
Yes.
You know, it's not just a compilation of random thoughts that sound the same.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So that's number one. Number two, seasoned stage presence. Seasoned performers like Jay-Z, Nas, and we can name a lot others, Ice Cube, Snoop Dogg, Wiz Khalifa, have honed their stage craft over decades. Their performances are masterclass in crowd. Like what I said.
Control, man. Yeah. Like, the ability to move a body of people with something you created, bro, that's a talent.
No, yeah, it really is. Even just going back, okay, at the Wu-Tang, like earlier I said, I seen a 66-year-old lady there. Seen a couple of folks our age there. I even seen 18, 19-year-olds and teenagers there, though. But would you trip me out? I seen the little kids there too, wearing Wu-Tang shirts and rapping METHOD, man. So, like what you said, that crowd control, and, you know, a lot of these kids have these appreciation for these music because they could be in the car or, you know, at the crib, they hearing their mama playing this, they hearing their daddy playing this, they hearing their older brother or older uncle playing this. You know what I'm saying? And so they get gravitated towards that. So I mean, like what you said, these niggas, man, these veteran rappers, man, they out here like, you know, like a medium rare steak. They just out here doing the damn thing. They seasoned well, bro.
Yeah, they got a package.
Uh-huh.
You know, and they put it together in a way that people come to. It's like going to see a movie versus mm-hmm. going to see a play.
Right. You know? Right.
No, nah, yeah. Entertainment, but right. The movie has one shot to get it mm-hmm. rehearsed, and it's
they're good. Yeah. They're fucking good to go. Maybe. Right. Number three. The established fan base. Older rappers have built a loyal and dedicated fan base over the years. I mean, I'm just saying. Y'all niggas do be liking to talk down about a lot of these older rappers, though. But a lot of these older rappers is crazy. Like, nigga, we still playing their catalog. You know? Like, the body of music is there. And it's there. And I feel... That's the problem with this microwavable generation. They just put out things so much, though, but they don't even know, like, how to structure or put an album well together. Prime example, okay, like, you know, people wanted to shit on Kendrick with the Miss Morrell and the Big Step or so, but you got to think, he comes from that what was last left of that era. Learning how to put an album together, how to structure it together beginning to end. Sometimes it may take 3 months. Sometimes it may take 3 years. Because you might hear something, okay, you like it in that order. Nah, I don't like it before this. Let me go back and move this up. Take this spot out. Move this down. Probably put this towards at the end. But if I put this...
on top of everything else, right. On top of all of that technicality, Dot is living through that.
Yes.
And then processing it either in the booth or before he got to it. Like, it's a process that type of music takes time to, because it's authentic and it's, like, written in blood in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
Versus something that's, you may be living it, true.
Right.
But it's something so surface level that it is copy and paste on any of the next, you know.
Yeah, man. Like, absolutely, though. Like, and that's what makes it crazy, though. But, like what we said, that is a huge part of the fan base, because, you know, people enjoy it. You know, they built that catalog.
They've been around long enough to, you know, sit back and say, okay, well, I remember his first album. He on album number 6, or it's been 10 years, 15 years. Like, mm-hmm. you know, Ice Cube been putting out music since the 80s. So think about an Ice Cube fan or a Jay-Z fan. Even.
Right.
Jay-Z been out since 95. A Nas fan. Those are, you know, our elders.
Mm-hmm. Nah, yeah, absolutely. And the fourth, one, why these older rappers are thriving, the nostalgia factor. Hip hop fans often cherish the nostalgia of the genre's golden era. I mean, that's true. No matter how you want to look at it, you know, there are different eras. You know, there's the beginning of the 80s, and then you have late 80s, early 90s, then you have the mid 90s, and then you have the late 90s, which I'm not gonna lie, the late 90s is like top two for me, because late 90s we still was getting Outkast, we got Jay-Z, but this is when DMX first coming out, the Rough Riders first coming out, we're seeing the rise of Cash Money. Man, you know.
You got to see a paradigm shift.
Yeah.
From, like, hip-hop was a thing. They were making money, but the world caught on to hip-hop when we were coming of age.
Right, right.
And that's important, but I'm super excited about what hip-hop will do.
Yeah.
What that next paradigm shift will be. You know, whether, like, when they tried to go into the metaverse and all these other things. But one thing that's been constant is when hip-hop businesses or, you know, just hip-hop artists have been able to take the reins of their tour money and their in-person merch money. You know, they've been able to have a certain type of leverage on the industry. It's dope to see with some of our OGs like Nas and Jay-Z doing things like Super Bowl and his own run, I'm sure.
Yeah,
Beyonce,
man,
got that shit sold up for the little parade shit they was doing.
Right.
You know, but they got it all together to the point they do Roc Nation.
Man, yeah, man, it's just so crazy, like, you know, just seeing, like, how you said they started tapping into different things, like Ice Cube, the Big Three, E-40 with his wine company, and now his meat company, like, doing these different types of...
They're diverse.
2 Chainz, having lucrative businesses and lounges in Atlanta, like...
Do you know of any young new generation artists that like have their tour thing set up? I think Uzi's the first one to come on.
Yeah. I think Uzi. I'm
trying to think who else though.
We named
a bunch of the old schools, but I'm trying to think like who maybe Jack Harlow is another
one.
They're on the same imprint.
So
and they got drum with But who else like on the fringes?
Ooh, that's a good one.
I mean, Tyler, but Tyler's kind of on the verge of, like, because Tyler came on a while ago.
Yeah, he did, though, but seeing, like, you know, him, he's throwing his own festivals out in California every year, and then the partnership that he got with Converse with his line, the Golf LaFleur clothing line. So we could throw him in there as one of the, you know, the new, but if we're going to throw him in there, we definitely got to throw the Big Three in there because, like, you know, they're automatically thrown in there.
Did you get the free Dave sandwich on Drake's birthday?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, Dave's Hot Chicken gave a free sandwich on Drake's birthday.
Wow. Should have known, man. But
I was in there one day. They told me. I was like, didn't even make it, but the app told you, bro. I was. But that's just crazy that hip-hop has made it into almost everything.
No, yeah, absolutely, man. And that's what make it dope though. So them are the four things why the OGs is thriving. The time tested catalog, the season stage, the established fan base, and the nostalgia factor.
So what the young boys got going
on? All right, so the young boys, this is they think why it is happening to them. Oversaturation. And
excuse me.
Yeah, with the oversaturation, I would have to say in that department, it's a hit or miss. And the only reason why I say that, because now we live in this era, they want the artists to put out music constantly. But if they don't put out music constantly, they get so much in an uproar and get mad and get upset.
You know what? I feel like it works when they get it right. Like a Currency, a G Perico.
Yeah.
Larry June.
Uh-huh.
Alchemist been dropping a lot.
Yeah.
Bodie James. You know, people like that drop a consistent project month, 2 months, but it'd be so on brand. It's a cult. Like, you know, it's a cult following.
Yeah.
Those ones are cool. But the ones that drop and they hit, some miss, some flop, some got a feature, those ones. I think those are the ones that definitely get hit by that. But I think in this market, like you were saying, you got to be in people's faces all the time or they forget about you.
Absolutely. And that's why, like, for me, like, even this ain't no diss to all the female rappers, though, but I feel like with the female rappers, it's something in the air that's a problem. Like, okay, you have a lot of them that put out consistent music though, but when it comes to their album sales, it's very low. Like Corey LeRae, she was very, very consistent this year, but when she dropped her second album did the same numbers as her first, 10-11K.
It's only so much of that music you can deal with, bro.
Yeah.
We need more Rhapsodies. We need more Lauryn Hill.
Yeah.
We need more
Lady London. You know,
what the list goes on. And yeah, no, nah, yeah. You know what I'm saying? For every one of them, Lotto, Corey LeRae, you know, no disrespect to them and their craft, but, you know, we need that balance.
Absolutely. And I think, like what you said, you can only take it for so much. Like, okay, City Girls had dropped the album and it did their first week, did 6,000 to 8,000. That's a problem. And like what you said, and I think that's the problem.
Because I ain't checking for no City Girls album. You know what I'm saying? Like, the Rhapsody album that's supposed to be coming out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm checking for that.
No, I'm here for that. Yeah, and there, and if you guys don't know of these these female rappers talking about. Shout out to my OG Nikki B. We did an episode together on like, you know, newer generation of lady rappers. So this list, I'm about to drop names. Write them down. Y'all said there not no like no lyrical female MCs. I'm about to give y'all some right now. You got Blimes and Gabs. You got Velda Wonder. She's a Latina rapper though, but she's fucking spitting, like super spitting. You got Ciroc. You got Little Sims out of UK. You got Mother Nature, super dope group, a collective from Chicago. And when I say that these females get busy, they get fucking busy, bro. They got this joint, bro. They got this joint called the Antidote. Like,
Antidote.
Yeah, bro. Like, fire. Man, look, you about to make me look it up right now, bro. Like, for real. Mother Nature is a fucking vibe. Like, pretty much.
Man, I'm going to put that in the title right now.
No, bro, like you got to. You have to.
Mother Nature. What was the name of the song again? Antidote?
Yeah, Antidote. About to go to. Cause I got one of their albums saved underneath my thing, man. Like, when I say, like, they are dope. Like, they are fucking, like, dope. And I mean, like, there's so many of them out there. Yep. Yep. Oh. Yep. There we go. There we go.
Listen to that in the car.
There we go. I mean, all negativity start with me. All in my mind, but I don't believe. Don't know my work, so I never leave. A painted facade in these cloudy dreams. Just some stories I told the psychiatrist. Shredding my shield wasn't making sense. Blocking my blessings, neglecting my essence. My system, he stresses. He switched my direction. I'm here for it all. Come on, bro, with that D'Angelo sample.
She dope.
Yeah. And then
a little pocket too.
Yeah.
With the melody. It was well produced.
Yeah, and then this shit too. When I say they're vibes. Can go and play. Let's have some fun and run the whole day.
Man,
look.
Okay, that one was a vibe.
Look, they out there.
There's the production out there.
Yeah, man.
Bottom line, what we saying is when your music got substance, people come see you.
Correct.
In real life.
Yeah, real life. Real life. And that's like
what we... the hard part with the young. And this is I don't go to concerts like that.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? But
right.
From what I can best tell, the younger demographic that listen to the younger demographic of music ain't really getting out there like that, but they doing online engagement,
right?
You know what I'm saying? And that's something that I've been seeing for a minute. Like Cole was talking about that on, was it 1985?
On
the Lil Pump disc.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not even a disc, it was more like a
lesson
tale.
You know, lesson. I'm taking you to school,
like,
right
now.
I'm
trying to tell you before it get to
You
know, because he saw this, and so like that's the difference.
No, yeah, absolutely, man, absolutely. So yeah. Oversaturation. Next up, lack of catalog depth. I'm with that. We were just talking about that earlier. Like the reason why a lot of these older rappers have the one up on y'all because they're coming out with bodies of work. You got to think like these, like when they did albums, they took about a good 2 years, maybe even three, to cook up some shit. Like really. But y'all want to drop every year, and that's not helping. It's hurting because we can't even indulge into from the last project that you dropped.
And you know what? For me, with an artist, like as an artist and a person that loves hip hop, like I like to see growth in projects.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
It doesn't got to be like this.
Yeah,
this like phenomenal transmutation where you turn into a totally different being, but.
Right.
Like there has to be something else, you know, and you're something else. You're doing something else. You're thinking something else, wanting something else. You accomplish something else. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like these different things are happening.
Right.
And the art for me that always connected was the albums that said that, whatever mm-hmm. it was, whether it taught me something, reinforced something I already knew, you know, made me like a cautionary tale, like a 1985 right. shit like that. Right. It was just like these different emotional beats. I can feel it and it translate on music and it's uplifting at the same time. Or if it do dip into something that's a lower frequency, there's a lesson or there's some context to another song or some shit like that. It's just a, you know, it was real, but it was like a bear hug of everything that artist went through.
Oh no, yeah, absolutely. That's why, yeah, that's, you know, that's the reason why we enjoyed those albums. So, but you guys, like the oversaturation, like you gotta let it sit, because when you're doing that, it makes your lack of catalog just look bad, like very, 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 very look bad. Oh, whew. All right. Inexperience. Inexperience. While young rappers may have a wall of talent, they often lack stage preference, live performance, and skills that comes with the years of practice. And now this is where I'm going to step in and say, y'all don't be thinking, y'all don't be needing them A&Rs. You do need them A&Rs. The A&Rs is going to be the ones that's going to tell you the truth about yourself, even though you may not hear it. The A&R is going to get the people around you, so you make sure, so you could be right before you hit that stage. Y'all be saying, y'all don't be needing those A&Rs. Bullshit. Y'all need them. As much as y'all, you know, the independent route, I knock it. I don't knock it. I very, very respect it. But also, too, you're going to need that label side, because you got to think, a lot of these artists that we grew up to and listened to, they were behind labels. The labels was, you know, making sure they were good. You know, okay, this is what you need to say. This is what you need to do. And even just putting your own little sprinkle in it, though. But they made sure that you was up to par. You was straight.
The label got a role to play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I just think historically it was just, we didn't understand how big of a role they needed to play.
Right.
And they maximized on that discrepancy.
Mm-hmm.
But now I think nowadays with people, like, you know, there's a laundry list of people who figured it out, how to find, excuse me, a middle ground in a partnership with a label.
Yeah.
They're doing well.
Yeah, late great Nip was that. You know, Nip was that. Yeah.
Like I said, the list goes on and on. Yeah. But it's a difference in the way labels are. But you, to your point, is you need that push, that A&R push, the prep to be on stage, the breath control, the lighting or the transition, the synchronicity between you and the DJs. Do you got dancers? Do you need this?
Yeah.
You got pyro? Do you know, it's a gang of shit to go.
No, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So at the end of the day, like, you're still gonna need a team. You're definitely gonna need a team, no matter.
You can't do that shit.
Yeah, yeah, you can't. And if you,
how independent you want to be,
right? I'm just right. You could miss us with that. You could definitely miss us with that. And last but not least, the evolving fan base. The fan base of younger rappers are generally younger and more fickle. Trends change rapidly in the world of hip hop. Now, for me, I'm not gonna sit up here and lie to you. I don't say like I fuck with every young rapper though, but there are some that I really enjoy. Like, literally enjoy because of the music and how it's hidden. I mean, but all of them, like, I can't give you all of them. I don't want to be the sound like the old bitter ass parent. I really don't, though, man.
Old heads talking about
it's a time and place for everything, and you know, I'm not gonna knock none of y'all shit because shit,
we were young too. So do your thing, young man.
But I think you guys just it's nothing wrong with having fun though, but really put out more music with substance, because this is what's hurting y'all, like, you know,
and the over. It's gotta look like right. What it look like for you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Figure out what your own substance is. And I think that's the part of creating something of yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Figuring out what that substance is about. Because you may know it, whether it's like if you in the streets and you know that part of your substance. Or if you just a regular person that has a job and you know your substance. Or if you're an entrepreneur, you know your substance. Or if you, you know, you take care of your family type of substance. Like, everybody mm-hmm. has that one thing that they've been, you know, they have to do. Right, you know what I'm saying? And then when you get to that next thing, It's like these different pieces of life.
You over here dropping gems.
I mean, that's just how I'm feeling.
Hey, you dropping gems right now, bro. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Teach you what substance you have in that space. So, and I think I keep going back to why I appreciate hip-hop albums, because it's clearly like stamped a flag in whatever that artist was about. I believed it.
Right, exactly. And he drew us, like, definitely drew us in, though. But, yeah, oversaturation, lack of catalog, inexperience, and an evolving fan base. That's what's hurting y'all right now, though, because I done seen a lot of tours, you know, they canceled. Money Back Yo got canceled. Lil Baby got canceled. A couple more I got canceled because, the ticket sales weren't coming in. They weren't pulling the sales. That's why I'm all like what I said. It's crazy to me to see how the MGM Grand Arena was filled up with fucking nostalgic rappers, bro. Like, and for me, I think that's a great
thing. Lil Baby was doing an arena.
No, yeah, no, bro. All that shit got canceled, bro. A lot of these niggas was hurting. Even, I ain't gonna lie, I fuck with Travis Scott, though, but Travis Scott was kind of hurting this time around. This time around, shit, nigga. I was this close from calling y'all to see if y'all wanted to go. The tickets was like fucking $30. They got that low.
Oh, Travis Scott.
Yeah, yeah, they got that low.
I mean, he did have that unfortunate situation.
Yeah, and they say he did ended up packing. Yeah,
I think that kind of put a bad taste in people's mouth.
Yeah.
And I wasn't crazy about the last album.
It was all right.
I wasn't crazy.
It was all right, though, but I do respect the energy, though. I do fuck with this energy, though. But yeah, but and you guys like start going, go hang out with the older rappers, man. They're willing to put you on game because a lot of them came out saying like they wanted to fix the wrongs of the generation before them, and it was like the reason why they were so hardcore. The generation before them, they didn't want to help them. They looked at them as competition. Mm-hmm. That's the crazy part. And
there are some older rappers that are just like, I won't rock with you just off of strength that you're young.
Right.
And some of them older rappers got to get over that. But I think, like,
quit being so bitter.
Yeah, I mean, because you know what I'm saying? It's not cool. It doesn't feel good not to be cool.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I think part of, like, being old or being, like, a young artist or young anything is, like, it's cool.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You like it. You do it. It give you what you need. But it's also cool to you.
Exactly.
And as you get older, you know what I'm saying? You at least as you mature and get older, you get out of the I do it because it's cool, and you find whatever purpose or meaning it is that's significant to you and what you got going on and how your life's set up. And so when you do that, it's not about the cool factor.
Right.
You know? So I think if you age out of that and you get stuck in the middle where you still kind of digging the cool factor, but you're trying to be in, like we were saying earlier, like being in one world and the other.
Yeah.
100% of anything.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. No.
And I think them the ones that fall in between them cracks.
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And just seeing the change, how a lot of the rappers from our generation want to reach out and want to do tracks with these younger kids. And I think it's dope. Like,
yeah, I think
it's cool. Like to me, like it's dope to see fucking how Snoop Dogg and Wiz Khalifa do tours together nonstop. Mm-hmm. That's two. You guys got to think. This is two different decades on stage together.
Snoop is old enough to be his dad.
Correct.
And that's dope. Because he took him in like open arms.
Arms,
like,
bro. Yeah.
The younger me. Come on.
Yeah.
Boom.
No, yeah, exactly. And it just make their juices flow again. Like the same way, okay, we know Top played a huge part. But when Dr. Dre first heard Kendrick, Dr. Dre was like, oh, yeah, I got to have this little name. Hey, nah, you got to come with me. You coming with me every single day. So that's the dope part, seeing like how the people in our generation get excited about some of these new kids and just be wanting to work with them and want to give them game. Like, I love that.
Art form at that.
Yeah.
You know, it's seeing, because, you know, when you really into something, you want for the people around you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What you got, right?
Yeah,
so when you, it's like you going, you got this fire cooking, and you see somebody else with some firewood, like, come on, boom,
yeah,
boom,
yeah,
boom.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you see somebody else with like a grill.
Right.
Top, bring that shit over.
Yeah,
there
real, too. Real,
then
real.
Somebody just caught some fish out there.
Yeah, hey, come on.
Somebody grows some shit over here, and then it's back to that community.
Yeah.
Of, bro. We go back to our nature of wanting to to cultivate something. And hip hop is fire, bro. It started in a dumpster, and now this shit is like
worldwide.
It's a supernova, bro. Right. Hip hop is a billion plus.
Yes, it is. It's worldwide. And what I'm loving, and this is what's making me happy.
Yeah.
Hip hop is like seeing all these the older rappers going tours and doing this shit. You know, got me kind of hype up.
Mm.
They now they gonna be in that same line like as old school rock and roll artists. These niggas be like 60.
Wayne should be like Wayne Newton.
Yeah, right.
Wayne should be doing fucking residencies in Vegas until he like 75.
Right, bro. No, like straight up, and I'm just loving it how like okay, like even like with the rock and roll, you seeing these niggas like Aerosmith, Kiss and all these other groups, these niggas be in their 50, 60, 70, still putting on fucking
what's
shows.
What's the connecting factor, brother?
Putting on shows, bro.
Exactly. Yes. They got their tour money. Yeah. And when they get their tour money, they got for sure money.
Yeah.
Man, on God.
Hey,
bro.
Yeah. That tour money is for sure money.
You know what I'm saying? Because, like, when you can get that all together, like, that's how Tech N9ne has been able to do his thing, bro. Like, I went to a... my homie was out here from Florida, and he got us some tickets to see the Suicide Boys.
Uh-huh.
And so he was talking about how they was doing their merch because they put on their own show. They doing like, he was saying like $800,000 in merch.
Woo! Woo!
Stop, bro. They did the Thomas and Mack had a semi-truck full of merch.
Damn.
And he was like, no, they said they making most of their money off of the merch on tour.
Damn.
So imagine, you know, imagine a bigger shop. The Suicide Boys is that small from New Orleans.
Right.
Imagine what a J. Cole does or a Kendrick tour does or a Jay-Z tour does. Yeah. Right? Or even, you know, anybody in between. Well, Wiz is middle of the pack. He probably get $250 a show.
Nah, yeah, bro. Bro, that's crazy.
Plus whatever his merch do. That's just $250 to get him to perform for an hour.
Yeah, man. But ain't this crazy, like, all this shit is like sneakers. Fucking LeBron got all the technology in the fucking world. You know, got a super dope fire shoe. But the problem is, everybody from all the eras still want to wear Jordans.
I mean, because when you look at a LeBron that he hooping in.
Right.
It's a great hooping shoe.
Right.
LeBron's a phenomenal
player. Right, right. Right.
I bet they put a lot of research and development into it.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't feel the same as, like, whatever your favorite Jordan is.
Yeah, you know, man.
Because everybody got a different one, but say a 5. You can put a 5 against any LeBron, and there's maybe one or two that kind of give you
right,
a...
Right,
And a 5 is mid.
Yeah, no, it really is not.
You know what I'm saying? You put a pair of 11 next to LeBron whole catalog. It's raps.
Yeah, man,
ones,
no, yeah.
3, like... Any collab, any Dornbacher against some LeBrons, except for like some 8s or 10s,
right?
You're going to get the Dornbachers off.
Right. And the reason why I said that made me feel like that's how rap is. Mm-hmm. The new rap is not hitting like the old rap.
That's why things like the up-tempos are still cracking.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but it's like, hey, man, the LeBron's not hitting like them Jordans, dog.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, just get into that. These fucking, oh, man, I can't wait, though. 2024. This is just one. So they rumored they're going to bring all back all the Olympic shoes that came out that year. They're supposed to be coming back for 2024, though. But the first shoe that we're definitely going to get into is this Air Tempo Olympic version, man. I haven't seen this shoe since 2012, so it's been a long time. And we'll be getting the retro treatment next year. As for some of y'all know, the Olympic Games is set to take place next year in Paris, France. To celebrate the Olympic Games, Nike Sportswear will be releasing a collection of sneaker paying homage, a major international sport level pair of said collection of the return of the Nike More of Tempo in the Olympic colorway. So this patriotic colorway was worn by Scottie Pippen during the 1996 Olympic Games. Fire. The white midnight navy, metallic gold, and the university red color scheme sneaker feels a navy notebook base contrast by the white Air lettering wrapped around all the sneaker. Don't have no release date, but they say yes, 2024. They're coming. They're coming, and you know what? I am here for that. I am definitely here for that because that sneaker right there, boy.
You should get that on a shirt to match.
Ooh. Yes, that would be fire. No, that would be fire.
Telling you, bro. Cat, what'd you say? Trademark that shit.
Yeah. Yeah, man. No, I got you. Got man, definitely got you, though. But that up-tempo, man, is just a fucking classic.
It's a silhouette.
Yes.
It's a lot you got to do to make that look bad. Yeah, like, the Supreme ones are still, like, grails for me.
Yeah.
Remember them?
Bro, those is fire.
Yeah.
Like, super fire, man. And it's like, with those, that's an easy outfit to put together. With the tempos, man, you can't go wrong.
It's about to be wintertime, too. Throw a sweatsuit on with that.
Shit, I'll get on eBay, find one of the old school champion Olympic jerseys. Mm. Ooh, put a black hoodie with
like
over
a warm
that.
Up or
yeah,
like
a warm up and put it over it with that, and then the sneakers on, man. Stop playing with me, man. Stop playing with me.
Like you about to run a lap.
Oh, yes, absolutely, though. But, yeah, that was our part for the Can I Kick It? And now we're finna get into this Check the Rhyme. First up, hey, I gave this dude his flowers even enough went on social media and said, man, like, you know, shout out to everybody who's catching wind or now being introduced to G Perico. Like, I love it.
The flood is here.
Yeah.
31, what do you call it? $31 million flood?
Yeah. Open the gates.
I need one of them. Shit.
Right.
Started with the $1 million flood, but shit. This is, you were just talking about like oversaturation, and this is an example.
And you said it. There's
oversaturation is a good thing.
Then,
for
yeah,
these type
yeah.
of people.
Yeah. No, nah, yeah, absolutely. And G Perico is new.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, like what I said, like, I fucked with this, and LA Summers. Part three. Hey, he been doing this thing. Y'all just must forgot though. I mean, Seven Figures Later, I'm still playing that. And even the fucking Hot Shot mixtape that he did with DJ Drama. Like, that nigga was consistent this year. And none of those projects wasn't a dud.
And I ain't gonna lie, I got put on to him on a Nip song. I think it was like Basic Instinct or something. But yeah, I heard it at first, like the voice threw me off. But then when I listen, because it's still a good song, and I listen to it again, I'm like, wait, all right, you know, he's straight. And
right.
Then he started, I seen him on a Currency song, and I was like, all right. And then his albums just have been consistently better, though.
Mm-hmm.
Him and Dupree, like, they are like a Manny Fresh and Wayne at this
point. Yeah,
like
they really are. They're the West Coast Manny Fresh and Wayne.
Yeah, they just like, all right, boom, 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 boom. And then the shit he did with D-Smoke is dope. Like,
fire.
The boxing ring and
yeah.
like the fact that they going in the Inglewood and their little area section and doing they investing in real estate, right? Like, they broadening hip-hop, something to where they didn't even think it was a genre at first, is allowing them to go back and buy multi-million-dollar property.
Right, enterprise.
Bro, that's
yeah.
dope.
No, yeah, it really is. So, but
the album fire, too.
Yeah, no, yeah, it really is. 10 tracks, 26 minutes long, and I mean, fucking, like, he was just going, shout out, Colorblind, and
Memories
then.
Memories is my shit, though.
Memories.
Like, that sample in there is
yeah,
fire,
yeah.
bro.
Yeah, and then this was my shit, too, 30 million.
Yeah. When the light hit the ice, it twinkling glisten, kinda got me right. Bling, 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 bling. Niggas ain't nowhere on my side. I need 30 million so I can sleep tight. Cash. Started the
and then Figaro. And I be loving like his little jazzy, the little
yeah,
jazzy
the
beats
production.
That be making, bro. It's crazy.
Car full of felons with a carload of bad bitches trailing. Soon. Up and down Figaro with a dirty soda in a cup hole. Bad habits, blowing money on high fast cash.
Hey, I fuck with this nigga, man. Hey, G Perico
is fire, bro.
Dog, you are the fucking truth right now.
You've been putting out some solid projects.
Straight up, man. Figaro right here, getting to it. LSG, and then, like what you said, that's another one of my favorites.
The LSG, that's,
yeah.
that one hit, though.
Yeah, the LSG, yeah. And then have it, like, the way it's set up, and then from LSG to Memories, that was a cold, like, ooh.
You usually do your best thinking when you're driving. That makes perfect sense to me. You know what I'm saying? He go from thinking about driving somewhere in some old schools to memories of people he lost. Like, it's kind of like a thing.
No, it really is, man. But this fucking G Perico, L.A. Summers, fire, man. Duh, all I'm going to say, man, it's going to, this, the end of the year list is going to be hard as hell, man. It's going to be hard as hell. It's only,
he might drop another bro, one before the year is
right, up. Right. It's 10 fucking slots. 10 slots. But all I know, G Perico is going on that list, but I don't know where. That's going to be the tough part. I don't know where. But yeah, y'all
so
check out
check the rhyme. What other rhymes we
got? Yeah, man. Next up, Westside Gunn. Westside Gunn. Oh, and then you pray for me.
He remind me. I haven't got a chance to really dig into this album, but Westside Gunn is a person and an artist remind me of like a Buffalo Ice Cube.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because yeah. like he do so much business that when he rap, it's kind of like you gotta give him like a whole movie set.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Ice Cube can do a Are We Done Yet? He can do a Friday. He can do a All About the Benjamins. He could do a bunch of different things.
Right.
But they all cube.
Right.
Do a song with Westside, I mean, do an album with Westside Connection, and it all makes sense. Westside Gunn is kind of that same thing with.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. What'd you say? I'm here for it.
Right. You know no, I'm really am, though. I am, though, but I understood why a lot of people were upset with this album because it's not your normal conductor boom bap sound. He was experimenting, and I don't fault him for that. Because he saw his boy do it. Y'all forgot that Benny the Butcher did a collab album, a whole collab album with Hit-Boy, and that motherfucker still hits. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was experimenting, and he saw that work for his boy, so he wanted to try it on here. Like, a lot of the production, like, you know, the Take Heath and everything with the trap beats. Yeah, I get it why y'all mad, and I understand why, like, you know, a lot of people... They liked it, fucking the one with J.I.D. Mama's Prom Time, cause it gives you that's that Griselda sound.
That's that like signature sound.
Yeah, that signature shit.
Paintbrush out, the move of muscle came from proof of bundle, spit in your face, but I'm super humble. I've been ahead of y'all, my metaphors.
Yeah, and then the other one too. Like I get it. Cause y'all wanted more stuff of this album, of this sound.
Yeah.
That Griselda, that boom bap.
Yeah. With my mail, I can never fail. I can be through you, I can tell you a tale. You ain't never ate Ruth's Chris in a cell. Everything grail, you moving at a pace of a snail. Supreme blind.
And I get it. And that was a problem for a lot of fans. The whole album didn't sound like that.
But how many times you want somebody to make the same album?
Right. Me too. You can only go so far with it. Like, he just gave us Hitler Wear Her Man's 10 last year. That was a whole album of that sound.
Facts.
So, like what you said, like, yo, like, it. I thought it was dope for him to, like, you know, experiment, like, you know, with those type of sounds. Like, you know, like this one, J.D. Riss.
Niggas know my body, know my standing on the couch, me pop smoking Bobby. Smoking flash, nigga, in the GQ party, Wallahi. Shoot out in L Avenue.
Trapaholic, what's happening? The Bridge Squad Young and Slim Deck, snap that motherfucker.
He was experimenting. I'm not mad at it. I'm not mad at it. But I understand why people, the consumers, were mad too at the same time. They're looking at him like, what the fuck you doing? This ain't you.
He went to an R-rated movie. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, he been making scary movies.
My God. Right.
But he went from like a Alma or R to like a NR-17, whichever one is like more fucking brutal.
Yeah.
That's what this sounds like. It sounds like a Freddy Krueger compared to like a psychological drama, nigga.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he really experiment with some shit.
No, like, yeah.
You know, Gunn got a plan with something, but I haven't really dug into the album. I'm here for it though. I'm gonna unpack it, listen to it, live with it.
No, yeah, no, and I get it. Like, and for me, like, I actually enjoyed it though. And what y'all want, I get it. Y'all wanted shit like this. And I said, and mind you, I just said he did this album last year. Like,
conductor, we have a problem. Conductor, we have a problem. Conductor.
This beat is fucked.
Right. Don't wait for it.
Ain't well, I like it more medicine. Bye. Ink well, elegant, more medicine, miracle. Clash two perennials, born inside when the terrible. Graveyard football, sound guy, buried sight. Batman, earth slam, joke.
Okay, and then, you know, shit like this. I'm all like.
Hey, yo. Hey, yo, my chef been whipping for 3 days straight. Fiends lined up for 4 houses down, no shake. What the fuck is that?
And he gave us that last year.
That was literally boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
That was literally a boom, bap.
Yeah. No, yeah, straight up. And he gave us that. He gave us that last year. So I'm all like, yo, like, if you want to try shit, Westside Gunn, look, nigga, I'm here for it, bro. Look, fuck all these other haters, bro. Your boy Skeets is here for it.
Sometimes you can't see the forest. Yeah. Sometimes you can't see the forest for the trees.
Yeah. No, yeah, straight up. Straight, no, like, really, really straight up, bro. Like, and, like, you know, nothing to take nothing away from him from doing that, though. But I'm all like, yo, y'all was kind of reaching too much for that.
But, you know,
man.
That's what the internet do, though. It do kind of react quick, and it doesn't have,
didn't
like,
even
hindsight.
Let it, yeah, yeah.
Didn't have hindsight or forethought. It's just like, boom.
Yeah. No, yeah, absolutely, though. But, yeah, man, the two albums, bro. They were fucking dope. Everything that we talked about tonight, man, it was fucking amazing. Straight up, like, from beginning to end.
Great combo.
Like, straight up, like, nothing but good combo, man. Like, ooh wee. And I think the one that, you know, definitely enjoyed combo and talking about was the kids, man. They gotta get better.
They have to, bro. They the future.
Nah, yeah, man. Absolutely. They are really the fucking future if you really think about it. Like,
literally.
Nah, yeah, man. Whew.
But keep the conversation going in the comments down below. Make sure you like and subscribe. Do the thing.
Yes, yes. TikTok, Apple, Spotify,
all that.
iHeart,
all that.
YouTube,
all that.
IG,
all that.
Facebook,
all that.
Subscribe.
All that.
Rate. Comment. You name it.
All that.
We on it. You name it. We on it.
All that.
You name it. We on it.
Peace, y'all. I'm Queasy the God.
Yes, and this your boy Skeeter Steve. Lace Rhymes. We out.